Welcome to Journey Church On Demand. We pray that you are encouraged by this message. For more information, visit us online at journeychurchdfw.com.
Where that is, you get to Isaiah, turn left. Okay, come back, you'll pick it up there. Song of Solomon or Song of Songs, chapter 7, verse 9b, second half and verse 10. It goes down smoothly for my beloved, gliding over lips and teeth. I am my beloved's, and his desire is for me. Father, I thank you so very much because your word is powerful. Your word has, it just brings life and hope and direction. I pray, God, that you would anoint my words, God. Speak into this place, God. I pray that you would do the work, God, that only you can do. Take us to where you want to take us, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing with us during that time. As I said a minute ago, it's a brand new series entitled The Art of God's Love. And we're talking about the fact that when you start to look in different mediums of art, different ways, God can show his love through that. You know, some of us are wired different ways, and so we can receive things in different ways. And so today, we're talking specifically about the art of God's love from the vantage point of a song. And that song, So Well, I really grabs that well, because one of the lines in there, it says this: God of salvation, you chase down my heart through all my failure and pride. I don't know about you, but I've had a little bit of both failure and pride to navigate. Okay? To know that he chases me down anyways. And on a hill you created the light of the world, abandoned in darkness to die. Such an incredible love that he shows us. But here's the thing: that love demands a response. That love demands a response. So I want to talk about that today as we start this series. If you don't know this, gentlemen, I'm going to give you a public service announcement. This Thursday is Valentine's Day, okay? And if you ever feel like making statements along the lines of, it's just a made-up holiday, it's made up by the greeting card and floral industries, whether or not that's true, don't tell her you think that, okay? Keep that on the DL, all right? Shh, bad news. But this week is Valentine's Day, you know, so that means, you know, flowers and all those different things. And it's a time where naturally you start to think about your husband or your wife. You start to think about your fiance, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, whatever that might look like. You start to kind of lean into that a little bit and start to think about what some of that may be in your world. And I want to tell you that after having an identity as a follower of Christ, not a pastor, a follower of Christ, those are two different things. After that identity of being a follower of Christ, my next favorite identity is known as a husband to Glenda. I will tell you, and I'm going to say this now, and you can awe all you want to because it's appropriate, but I'm going to tell you now, she's my favorite human being. Aww. Everybody at home watching online, you just went awe too, and you're welcome. You're welcome. But I will tell you, she is my bride. We've been married for 22 plus years, and I will tell you, in all honesty, it's done nothing but grow. That love, our understanding, our knowledge of each other has done nothing but grow. But it makes me think about our wedding day. And I want to show you a picture. Look at that. Huh? 20, that's a win. That's a win. 22 plus years ago. Now, here's the thing. She's as striking today as she was then. Yeah, I think that's appropriate. I did get her permission. I did get her permission to do this, and I even had her pick out what photo she wanted to use. Again, I am a smart man, all right? There's a little more of me to love today than there was then. There's a little less on the head than there was then, and I had the cool mid-90s round glasses frames. Dude, those were happening in the mid-90s, along with my tux tails. You know what I'm talking about? Tux tails, that was a way to go. She hated him then. She hates him now. As a matter of fact, anytime we look at the picture, she's like, I really wish she would have listened to me and just worn a regular coat. And I'm like, but look at me. I had tails. That was such a cool look. But I tell you all that because when I travel on our missions trips or I travel for conferences or whatever that might look like, I'm there in the moment. I'm with missionaries. I'm in a conference. I love to learn. I am a perpetual student. I honestly, if I could afford it, I'd probably stay in school till I die. I love to learn. But I will tell you, when I go on those things, I'm still thinking about her. When she gets to travel with me, that's a bonus, but it doesn't happen very often. You know, we've got kids and stuff. But when we're flying home, or when I'm on that plane, I am busting at the seams. I'm ready to get home to see her and see my kids. She's my bride. And the thing about it is, I think about all of those things. I'm ready for that. But when I think about what that day showed, our wedding day, that day, appropriately so, I remember it like it was yesterday. It was November 23rd, 1996, and it was a cold, cloudy, rainy day. But I had sunshine. All right. Even I think that was a little far, all right? And I believe cheese works, okay? But that was probably a little far. But here's the thing. I remember that day because when we came in, you know, like most girls, she had basically what she wanted her wedding to look like. It was kind of insert groom in a few pieces, but she knew the most of it. And I was okay with that. I came from a ministry family, so who officiated our wedding was a big deal to me. My cousin, who was a presbyter, and he pastored in Southlake till he died, he did the majority of it. My grandfather did part of it. He was already very ill. That was a big thing to me. The other thing that was a big deal to me was I was a music major at TCU, and I just knew I was going to be a worship pastor. That's where the Lord was leading me, if you asked me. And so I'm going that direction. So I wanted to pick up the majority of the music. And so I called in Favors, and I created Favors, and I had a brass quintet playing in our wedding. Okay, and it was all wood, like wood pews, wood everything. And this brass This brass quintet is playing, and the bridesmaids are coming in. My groomsmen are with me. They're coming in, and they're playing Paco Bocan and all this and that. Well, time comes for her to enter. And when the time that moment came, the first trumpet player actually plays with it. He's been playing with the New York Philharmonic for a while. Talented man. Stood up with a little piccolo trumpet, and he played trumpet voluntary, which is what Princess Diana came into when she got married. Okay, that starts playing. It's echoing around, and all of a sudden, the doors open, and there's my bride. There, my queen. She's walking in, and I'm telling you, I remember like it was yesterday. Oh, my goodness gracious. There she is, and this just became very, very real. Right? And I'm watching her walk down the aisle with her dad, who at that point finally liked me. Up till that point, the jury was out. Yeah. He did not realize, just saying. But she's walking down the aisle, and I'm watching. And on the video, you can actually see I'm doing this right here. Right? And my best man reaches up, grabs my shoulders, and Mary goes, "Dude, stand still." You know, it was just, everything was melting in my world as I'm watching her come down the aisle. And I tell you all of that because today when I do a wedding, I watch the groom's face. Because when he gets that first glimpse of his bride, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters because the woman that he has chosen and that she has chosen him, you're about to come to that point where everything changes. And I'm telling you all of that because the scripture describes the love that God has for us like the love a bridegroom has for his bride. Song of Solomon talks a lot about this idea. You know, and I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think in 25 years almost of ministry I've ever preached from the Song of Solomon or the Song of Songs. Probably because it's an incredibly intimate book. There's a lot of imagery that goes in with it. There's a lot of poetry that's there. It's rarely preached, but it's powerful. There's a ton of symbolism in it. And here we see the love of Christ for his bride, the church. It's vividly portrayed by the love between the shepherd King Solomon and his Shulamite bride. But one of the verses that really drives on this is flowing gently over lips and teeth. And I want you to understand this morning, that idea is important. Because the Holy Spirit is described as a mighty flowing river in Scripture, but he's also described as a wine. It's that new wine concept. So when it's gently flowing over lips and teeth, that idea is his love is reviving those who are asleep spiritually. And can I tell you, there has never been more spiritual slumber in our nation than there is today. There needs to be an outpouring of God's power and his love. And when that wine, that sweet presence of God starts to flow, we start to become aware that he's near. People who might not even realize God's presence is here, we start to sense something. Something starts to stir in us. I'm telling you this morning, the presence of God was in this house during worship. You know, and here's the thing. Can I encourage you real quick? If you didn't feel anything, don't necessarily think, oh man, I'm in sin. If there is sin God's revealing to you, deal with that. Sometimes we don't feel things. Some of the most powerful moves I've ever had in my life by the Holy Spirit, I didn't feel. So don't be limited by your emotions. Are you with me on that? But I'm telling you, man, the glory of God, it was thick in here, man. You could just sense where God was moving and he was touching hearts and lives. And when that happens, there's a natural response in us. Our lips, remember, pours over lips and teeth. Our lips start to respond with an attitude of worship. We start to press in and connect to God. There's something fresh and new happening, and true longing develops inside of us. Why? Because the Holy Spirit, when he starts to move, he starts to work, he'll start to inspire us, realizing there is something bigger we can be a part of. He'll start to edify us. He'll start to challenge us, to exhort us, to stir our passions toward him and towards others. But here's what I think is great. Solomon makes a really, really important point here. He records the words of his bride in verse 10. She says, I belong to my lover, and his desire is for me. The Shulamite bride, she's actually in the presence of Solomon's harem when she makes that statement. 1,000 wives and concubines. Now, we can stop there and insert whatever jokes you might want to insert. Trust me, I got jokes. I got jokes, but I'm letting them all go. Yeah. That is, you know, discretion, the better part of valor thing right there. I'm walking in it. But she, in front of all of this, she makes this statement. She, I love this because she says, I belong to my lover and his desire is for me. A lot of scholars believe the idea is that she's trying to take him back to the place where they first fell in love to rekindle their love. I want to just challenge you this morning. That should be something that's happening inside of us. That like Revelation tells us, we go back to our first love. We start to go back and strip the other things away, the things that it's really not about. And it's all about you and Jesus. I talked Wednesday night about the idea horizontal expression should be our response to a vertical relationship. Let's get that place where it's all about what God's wanting to do. Return to our first love. Religion, gone. Ritual, gone. All of that stuff needs to be out of the way. And it's just about you and Jesus. It's a return to our first love. Allow him to wash over us and change us. But the question is, how do we allow his desire to be for us? Because she makes a statement. She goes, I belong to my lover. And I want to take that phrase, I belong to my lover, and I'm going to pull 4 very quick thoughts from that. And when I say very quick, I mean very quick. So if you zone out, you're going to miss 2 of them. So stay with me. The first thing that we see here is it's personal. This idea is personal because the pronouns are personal pronouns. My, I. She has become the promised land, if you will. She has become his inheritance. Her lover owns her heart. He's all she cares about. That there's that connection there. And the thing is, up to that point, fears, anxieties, worries, all of those things could have been what had been controlling her. But all of a sudden, she has this new understanding that I am my lover's. The fears and the worries and all those things, they get to start to fall away. They start to pass away. Why? Because her life has been given to him. And it's a personal relationship. Hear me this morning. Christ can be of no benefit to you unless you claim it personally. Unless you claim that relationship personally. You cannot live on your mama's blessings. You can't live on your grandpa's relationship. Doesn't work that way. You can't even go in and say, man, I remember when God moved in my life 10 years ago. You can't live on yesterday's blessing. You can't even live off of what God did Wednesday night. And I'm just going to tell you, if you weren't here Wednesday night, you missed a powerful move of God Wednesday night. Whew. It was, yeah. There's something amazing God's moving in and doing right now. But you can't do that. You've got to receive his love afresh and new. Allow it to be personal. Because I need you to understand this morning. Your identity is not in who you are. Your identity is not even in your spouse on Valentine's week. Your identity is not in your children. Your identity is not in your job. Your identity is not even in Journey Church. Your identity is in his love for you and who you are in him. That's why he tells us in John 6:37, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. It is a personal relationship. It's a personal walk. So it's personal. Number two, it's present. Notice the verb tense, am. Not was, not would be, not could be, not hopefully will be. It's am. It is right here, right now. It's personal. The bride claimed, I am my beloved. It's right here. It's right now. And I want you to hear me this morning. That's the way it should be for each and every one of us. God's love, God's promises, his provision is right now. Paul says, therefore, there is what? Now, no condemnation. Why? Because of the work that Jesus paid, or the price that he paid, the work that he did on the cross. And that applies right now too. His love is for you right now. It was in your past because he was. And it is in your future because he will be. But it is also right now because he is. I am. You need to receive that this morning. It's personal. It's present. Another one, number three, is it's possessive. Notice the word my. It's a possessive pronoun. There's a relationship that exists between the Shulamite bride and her lover. There's a relationship that starts, hear me, when we receive Christ. One of the most powerful revelations that God has been speaking to me for quite some time now is we serve God, the Creator God. Okay? One of the phrases in that song so well, Pastor Jason and I were talking about it a minute ago, that's a very wordy song. And there's not a big, you know, a big chorus you can jump onto and sing, but as you start to really read those lyrics and internalize those lyrics, it's very internal between you and the Lord. But there's a phrase in there where it says, I believe it's something along the lines of the planets are formed from the vapor of your breath or something along those lines. We serve a God who with a word created it all. Do you get that? We serve a God who created your body. The scripture describes him as Elohim, creator God. But here's the most amazing thing. Not only is he Elohim, creator God, he is also Jehovah God, the covenant, the personal, the relational God. You need to understand this morning, we serve both Elohim and Jehovah. He is both. But this God who created everything literally cares about what happens in your life. And it's a possessive thing. He is my God. So when I'm in my prayer time in the mornings, let me tell you a lot of how it starts out. It starts out with repentance. It just does. Because I'm human. And I drive on 26. Some of you must drive. You must come in brown trail. You don't even know what I'm talking about. Lots of deep intercession at times. Anyways, I have that time of repentance. But then I come in and I thank God that he's my Savior. He's my God. He's my healer. He's my provider. He is my everything. He is my all in all. And what the Shulamite bride is saying here applies to us today. He is very much our God. It is a possessive idea that he is that for us. We're purchased with a price. Christ's blood bought us. It's a steep price and we belong to him. So we see all those other pieces. The last one, because I need to move on, is it's passionate. It's passionate. The term beloved is a term of endearment. She's been redeemed by the shepherd king, but follow me on this. It's God's infinite love, his infinite grace, his infinite mercy that came in. He came into this world as an ordinary man to redeem us. That drove him to the cross. It's that amazing, unimaginable, unfathomable love that drove Jesus to the cross willingly for you and me. But let me get you fired up now, because the second half of that verse is even better. Because she says, I am my lover's, and his desire is for me. God's desire is for you and me. What a thought. Can I tell you? I take comfort in the fact that Glenda has eyes for me. Maybe I'm being overly carnal, but I love the fact that my wife has eyes for me. I have eyes for my wife. God wired us that way. That's the way we have that for one another. Her desire is for me and my desire is for her. I am her husband. She is my bride. And I want us to understand God's desire is for us. We see true love. We see the true heart and the true desire of the Father. The longings of his heart are for us. Do you understand that this morning? Do you really grasp that? I want you to hear me. I want to make sure you're really picking up what I'm putting down this morning. His desire, the desire of Elohim, the desire of Jehovah God, the desire of the one who created everything is for you. That got me fired up. Man, I had church in my office this week. Think about that for just a minute. I kind of picture this. Again, my sanctified imagination's kicking in here. I picture almost like Jesus stays awake at night thinking about us. I remember when Glenn and I first started dating and we got engaged. We would be at each other's houses. Now, we were in our 20s. Okay, we weren't like 15 or anything. But I'd stay at her place or she'd stay at mine or whatever. And then we'd leave 1 o'clock in the morning, drive home. And you know what we did when we got home? We picked up the phone and we called each other. Now, we didn't have that fancy technology where you keep it in your pocket. All right. We actually had to wait till we get home and dial on one that was plugged into a wall. Some of you are like, what? Google it later. Not now. Google it. It's there. But we'd call each other. And the thing is, we would talk some, and we would just sit together quietly at times, too. Why? Because we wanted to be together. We were just simply wanting to be together. I know this will shock you. One time I fell asleep, and that did not go well. Because I woke up to a dial tone. I was like, uh-oh. that's not good. But that idea, that desire of constantly wanting to be together, and that's what I picture. Now, let me take this a little further. Psalm 139, David tells us that God's thoughts towards us can't even be numbered. Isaiah 49 tells us that he's engraved us in the palm of his hand. If he's put you in the palm of his hand, don't you think he's passionate about you? Don't you think he's driven by you? His desire and his longings are there. And here's the beautiful thing. His desires and longings are there for you even when we're not serving him. His desires and longings are for you even when we're being boneheads. I'm sorry, you want me to come up with a theological term there? How about when we're not listening and we're just kind of going through life doing our own thing? His desire is still there for you even then. And that's one of the most amazing things I think. I love that idea. Let me give you a quick example. I have Glenda's permission to use her today. And I'm using her a lot because it just fits. But early on, I don't even know if we were married yet. I ordered some flowers, had them delivered to her office. And she told me, she said, you know what? Don't have them delivered. You can get almost the exact same flowers at Tom Thumb or Kroger or whatever, almost the same thing. And they mean more to be delivered by you. And it's a whole lot cheaper. There's a lot of yeps over here, all right? So for years and years, that's what I've done. I've just bought flowers for her. Several years ago, on Valentine's Day, or coming up on Valentine's Day, she said, hey, Kroger is selling my favorite flowers. They're on sale. Okay, good deal. Her favorite color is pink. So I go to Walmart, walk into Kroger, and there are pink roses. I'm like, Jeff for the win. Buy the roses, I buy them, I come home, I give them to her, and she looks at me, and she goes, do you not listen to anything I say? I was like, I went to Kroger. She said, my favorite flower is a tulip. And you know, I should have known that earlier on in our marriage. But guess what I did? She kept the roses. I immediately went to the truck. I went to Kroger, and I bought tulips. And by the time I was done buying both tulips and roses, I probably could have just had tulips delivered for the same price. That's okay. I come in with the tulips, pink tulips, and I was like, and now it's Jeff for the win. And why? Because that was what really mattered to her. But are you ready for this? She didn't stop loving me because I didn't listen. If that was the case, We would not have made 1 year. All right. I don't know that we would have made it to the aisle to start with. Are you getting me? So I need you to hear me this morning when I say this. She didn't stop loving me because I didn't hear her. God's love for you is not conditional on you. I hate to tell you this. You are not good enough to ruin God's love for you. You are not powerful enough to ruin God's will for you. You know, I hear people say that. Man, that's a whole other thing. But God's loved us. His love, his desire is not dependent on us. That's why John tells us in 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. He loved you long before you started loving him. And his love supersedes you. His love supersedes your success and your failures. His love goes so far beyond anything you've ever said or done. It surpasses all of those things. I need you to understand, if we really, truly understood the depths of God's love for us, I think there'd be a whole lot more freedom in the house. I think it would destroy bondages so much quicker. I even think depression, I think brokenness, I think all of those things could be set free. Our false self-identity could all be changed if we really understood his desire is for you. He loves us that much. It's not a merit system. You don't have to earn it. It's not points. But Creator God loves you. You know what that means? When you go through tough times, his desire is for you. When you go through times where honestly you feel like you're just a failure, his desire is for you. When I'm criticized, and I'm criticized a lot at times, his desire is still for me. When I feel like a failure as a husband, his desire is still for me. When I feel like a failure as a father, and can I tell you, that happens more often than I would like it to, his desire is still for me. When I fail as a pastor, his desire is still for me. And I need you to hear me this morning. I am going to fail you at times. Not because I want to, but because I'm human. I will fall short at times. And when I do, I'm probably more acutely aware of it than you are. And there have been times where I've just found myself sitting alone thinking, somebody could do this much, much better than me. And you know what? That's probably true. There are people that are more qualified, that are more smartical, taller, thinner, with more hair. But you'd miss this. Just saying. I find myself at times thinking, man, I fall short. There are multiple full-time employees that count on me not messing up. You want to talk about pressure? How about when I come in and I tell the board, guys, I feel like God's stretching our faith and we're taking a step of faith for the charge. It's spooky sometimes. But when we win, or it's delayed, his desire is still for me. And when you fall short, his desire is still for you. You're not going to do it all perfectly. You're not even going to come close. But his desire is still for you. He loves you that much. And something inside of us should jump knowing that his desire is for us. If you were in core prayer this morning, Pastor Karen, I've asked Pastor Karen to start wrapping up the core prayer time. And I've asked her, because she flows in some prophetic pieces, I've asked her kind of just share some things that God is speaking in her heart. One of the things that she shared this morning was the idea of intimacy. I put this message to bed about 3 weeks to a month ago. I try and stay 3 weeks to a month ahead. I'm not always successful, but that's my goal. And then Thursday, I go back over my notes. I spend a lot of time all Thursday afternoon, and then I stew Friday and Saturday. That's kind of my method. Friday or Saturday, I don't remember which. I'm in the shower because God speaks to me a lot of times in the shower. Again, I'm letting jokes go by. But I'm in the shower, and God started to speak to me, and he dropped the word intimacy into my heart for today. He dropped the word intimacy, and then he starts to speak to me, and I'm going to unpack that in just a second. When Pastor Karen was speaking, she shared with you, she said, God spoke the word intimacy. I go in here to pray with the band before service, and the things that Pastor Jason is speaking over the band is intimacy. Nobody's communicated any of these things ahead of time. God's speaking. But here's the thing. When we hear the word intimacy, especially in light of Song of Solomon, in light of Valentine's Day, most of us, our minds go to sexual intimacy. Okay? And that's appropriate in the marriage covenant. Okay? Hear me. I'm scanning quickly. We have kids ministry for a reason. For a lot of reasons. Sexual intimacy between a husband and a wife is biblical. Are you hearing me? It is biblical. God is pro-sex when it's between a husband and a wife. When it's between people that are not married, whether the same sex or not, it's not. It's sin at that point. Are you with me? But sexual intimacy between a husband and a wife, that's part of what God created inside of us to draw us that much closer together. That's part of that intimacy. When we start to talk about intimacy with the Lord, be careful, because some of us want to, you know, we try and superimpose that in some way. That's not at all what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about an intimacy with the Lord, that if you were to take the word intimacy and place a little bit different emphasis on it, instead of intimacy, it could be into me, see. When you start to think about intimacy with the Lord, you allow God to start to see inside of you, see really who you are. Because guess what? He already knows. He created you. But when you start to really get intimate with the Lord, you start to see more of who he is as well. And that's when that revelation knowledge and that idea of who we really think God is starts to shift. And that's when you start to move away from big, angry, lightning bolt God to a very loving, passionate God who is also he's righteous and he's just. And so he won't tolerate sin. Okay, that's the beautiful balance. God's always got a balance. But that idea of once we really start to see and intimacy, and we start to walk in that intimacy, and I know for guys, that's hard for us because we feel weird with that. I get it. I'm a guy, and it does feel weird. But if we can start to step past that and start to really see the way God intends it, then we start to walk in that idea of he sees me, and we get to see more of who he is as well. And if we'll start to understand that, then we'll start to know that his desire for us, if you really walk in that, then nothing can beat it. Nothing. Nothing can change it. As a matter of fact, the Apostle John, I'm starting to wrap up. The Apostle John is known as the apostle that Jesus loved. Now, does that mean that Jesus loved John more? No. Does that mean that Jesus loved John to the exclusion of someone else? No. What that really means is that John started to identify himself in the love of God. And as a result of starting to really walk in that, he started to see that God really does love him and his desire was for him. There's a band that was out in the late aughts, early teens, that played National Youth Convention and General Counsel. The name of the band was Pocket Full of Rocks, taken from the David thing, right? Anybody familiar with Pocket Full of Rocks? Okay, good. There's a few of you. One of their songs was I'm God's Favorite and He Has Eyes Only for Me. And there were people that had problems with that song. God's not a respecter of persons. He is the same yesterday and today and forever. But when we start to realize that God really has eyes for me and he treats me like I'm his favorite. But the beauty is, he treats me like I'm his favorite, just like he treats Isabel like she's his favorite. He's God. He used to do that. He can do that. But I need you to hear me this morning. When we start to walk in that, we start to walk in that comfort and in that confidence of knowing that we really are who God created us to be, God called us to be, we start to see his love for us through the lens that he intended for us to walk in. Then we start to walk in that ability, that knowledge. My sister-in-law, she and her husband pastor a church of 2,000 down in Burleson. She is probably the most blessed and person who walks in favor more than anybody I've ever met in my life. They went to a safari club thing in Dallas. She put her name in a drawing. She won the drawing for like 6 people to go to South Africa for a safari. All expenses paid. That's just her all the time. I'm like, can I hang out with you for like 30 minutes? Get a little bit of the residual? But she'll tell you. She'll say, I'm God's favorite. And there's a lot of me that goes, I think you may be right. But our kids growing up, they'll tell you. They'll tell you the other one is my favorite or Glenda's favorite. God treats all of us like we're his favorite. And we need to receive that. Because, and please hear me. There's an old hymn that has a phrase that says, the end of it says, for such a worm as I am redeemed. I am not a worm. I am redeemed, and I am who God says that I am. All right? I am a child of the living God. Now, I can also pick apart modern songs too. Okay? I can be an equal opportunity picker. But hear me. God's desire is for you. You're going to come back, Pastor Jason. The night that Jesus was betrayed and he was beaten, Jesus shared his desire for his disciples. And I want you to listen to this real quick. He knew that they would run. He knew that they would run. He knew that they would not have the strength to stand with him in that hour. But his desire was still for them. You ever thought about that? Peter goofed up pretty big, didn't he? And yet his desire was still for Peter. He knew they wouldn't have the strength to stand, and he knew that. But here's what's amazing. The confirmation that he gave went to the weakest one. And it comes to us when we're faithful, when we really trust who he says he is. You don't have to earn it. Why? Because nothing can separate us from his love. Now, can you be separated from your salvation? Yeah. Okay, people use that verse to mess with that. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is his love for you will never, ever, 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 ever stop. His love for you is that strong. I've asked Pastor Jason and Ms. Morgan to share with us a part of a song called Beloved. And I want you to hear this as we get ready to move in to our altar time. Ms. Morgan.
You're my beloved. You're my bride. To sing over you is my
ask you to stand with me. I'm going to ask them to continue that in just a moment. But you hear that idea. You're beautiful to me is what he says. Right now, the scripture tells us that he sings over us with love. That he loves us so, so much. Sometimes we got to get out of our own way to receive it. We got to get out of our own way and say, okay, God, I'll let you do your work. I'll receive what you're trying to speak to me. My question is, where is your focus today? Do your affections truly belong to him? Do you see what you're on this planet for? You're on this planet because of him, relationship with him. Are you committed to his desires? What are your affections? My question to you is, does your desire, or do you desire him the way he desires you? Because remember, into me, see. God desires so strongly for us to have a real, true, intimate walk with him. So here's what we're going to do. We have Lee and Leslie, Lee and Margie are up here. If you've got a need of some sort, prayer teams are up here. They'd love to pray with you. Physical, spiritual, mental, financial, whatever it might be, they're here to pray with you. But here's what I'm going to ask you to do for just a minute. I'm going to ask you for just a moment to enter into a time. She's going to sing that chorus again, and then I'm going to let them kind of start to run, whatever that looks like. But I want to ask you to close your eyes and really start to enter into that moment. For some of you, you've been raised with a very strong, strict religious background, so it feels really weird to think about God as just a true, pure God of love. Some of you, you've been abandoned, you've been hurt by people who claim to love you. And you need to allow that love to start to wash over you. Because the most pure, the purest, most powerful type of love is the love of God the Father for us. And I want you to receive, as we're in this series, The Art of Love, I want you to receive his love, and this, or the art of God's love. I want you to receive it, and specifically this morning, let his love start to wash over you. Let his love start to minister to you. Let him start to do a work in you. And you can move away from I've got to earn it mentality. Because you may say you don't have to earn it, but do you really live that? Do we find ourselves on some level, well, if I'll hold my mouth right, if I hold, you know, just on one foot, if when the certain song comes on, my hands are fully extended. We get into this whole thing, and God's like, none of that matters to me because I love you. So I want to challenge you. We're going to pull the lights down a little bit to help with that into me see piece. I'm going to encourage you, get into the presence of the Lord. If you have needs, come up and let these guys pray with you. But for just a couple of minutes, let's press in into his presence and let him start to minister to you.
You're my beloved, you're my bride. To sing over you is my delight. Come away with me, my love. Under your mercy, come and wait till we are standing face to face. I see no stain.
Thank you for listening to Journey Church On Demand. We would love for you to visit us in person for one of our Sunday morning worship services. If you have questions, need prayer, or would like to connect with us, feel free to visit us at journeychurchdfw.com.